Hello, and welcome to this episode of Love from St. Luke's, a podcast dedicated to exploring God's love as it's revealed in Scripture. I'm the Reverend Lauren Bloom, coming to you from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in beautiful Eastport, Annapolis. This week we celebrated Christ the King Sunday with a special gratitude service to thank the volunteers and donors who support our food pantry. As we approach Thanksgiving, a day when food is on everyone's minds, let's consider how Jesus might inspire us to be more generous in sharing food with others. We'll begin with a reading from chapter 23, verses 33 to 43 of the Gospel of Luke. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. The people stood by watching Jesus on the cross, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here ends the reading. This week began with Christ the King Sunday, a day that the Episcopal Dictionary of the Church describes as a celebration of Christ's messianic kingship and sovereign rule over all creation. If you were asked to imagine a king, you might picture Charles III at his 2023 coronation, draped in a golden cloak, his head weighed down with an ermine-trimmed crown, hands cradling a jeweled scepter, ensconced on a gilded throne as the Archbishop of Canterbury knelt at his feet. Perhaps you'd think of King Arthur, seated at his round table and surrounded by his noble knights, or of any of the many would-be rulers of Westeros if you're a Game of Thrones fan. If history is more your thing, you might remember Charles's grandfather, George VI, bravely walking with his queen through the bombed-out streets of London during World War II. But without some prompting, you probably wouldn't immediately think of a political prisoner who had been condemned for treason, stripped of his clothes, beaten bloody, and nailed to a cross to die with criminals on either side of him, mocked by the leaders who sentenced him to death, the soldiers who carried out the execution, and at least some in the watching crowd. And yet, that's how Luke presents Jesus the Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, at what might seem to be his lowest moment. On the very day that we are supposed to be celebrating his divine power and eternal sovereignty. Whenever I return to the crucifixion, I'm overwhelmed by the pointless cruelty of the people around Jesus. Pilate and the temple authorities had every reason to believe they had triumphed over the upstart country rabbi who dared to claim he was the Messiah. Why even bother to attend his execution? The Roman soldiers crucified thousands of Hebrews every year. We might expect professional indifference from them, not active malice. The crowd had seen so many failed messiahs. What was one more? Even the condemned criminal hanging next to Jesus, who must have been in agony, managed to find enough breath to mock him. Humankind is revealed at its absolute worst here. We could hardly blame the only son of the all-powerful God if he put aside his mortal form, blasted the cross to smithereens, and took out his tormentors with a single lightning bolt. It's what Baal, Ares, or Zeus would have done. But this is Jesus. Instead of punishing his persecutors, he prays to his Father to forgive their ignorant brutality, then promises the one soul who showed him any kindness a place beside him in paradise. Jesus is the Son of our Creator, which might give us reason to fear him. but it's his extravagant mercy and infinite loving generosity that make Jesus the King of Kings and the only King whom I, for one, and probably many people listening to this, will ever willingly follow. Kings have the power to command their subjects, and they expect to be instantly obeyed. But Jesus doesn't often issue commands. Instead, he leads by example and gives us stories, not decrees. For example, when a lawyer asks Jesus what the Father wants from his children beyond compliance with the great commandment to love God and neighbor, Jesus replies with the parable of the Good Samaritan. He lets the lawyer figure out that the good neighbor is the one who showed mercy, then tells him to go and do the same, which could mean various things depending on the situation. Jesus offers general direction while inviting us to decide for ourselves how to do as he asks. His approach encourages us to mature in faithful obedience while respecting our free will. But Jesus has given us one very clear command, the same command he gave the guilt-racked Peter after his resurrection. "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. And while generations of theologians have interpreted Jesus' words as a metaphor, referring to the spiritual food that Scripture provides to the souls of the faithful, I believe he was also telling us to provide physical food to God's hungry children. His command is the reason that his churches have always given alms to the poor, and it's why St. Luke's Church has a food pantry that provides essential nutrition to our neighbors every Tuesday morning. Christianity has had a long and complicated relationship with the human body. We too often deride the body as a weak vessel and instrument of sin. Some of our leaders have emphasized self-denial and fasting to the point where suffering seems to be the only path to virtue. But everyone needs healthy food, regardless of their age. Just as kids who don't get enough to eat have a tough time in school, it's hard for anyone to worship when they're too hungry to focus on a prayer book. Jesus understood that because hunger was a serious, pervasive problem in Israel under the Roman occupation. That may be why so much of his ministry was centered on food. Jesus filled his parables with references to grain and vineyards and farming. When he wanted to give his disciples a hint as to his true identity, he turned vats of water into wine. When he wanted to engage with the religious leaders in his community, he sat down with them for dinner. And when he wanted to help his followers understand God's extravagant love for them, he fed them all with fish and bread. Jesus understood that food is a blessing, given by the Father as a gift to his beloved children. He emphasized his Father's loving concern for those who are always least and last. And he invited us to help bring his Father's kingdom closer by offering food, respect, and hope to those who too rarely get enough of any of those things. At the Diocese of Maryland's convention this weekend, Dean Winnie Varghese of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in Manhattan described a woman who had come to their food pantry seeking help. Her SNAP benefits stopped when the federal government shut down, and she had been without food assistance for weeks. When a St. John volunteer gave her a few $100 worth of grocery store gift cards, the grateful woman replied in awe, "God is here." I know what she means. Jesus is always at St. Luke's because Jesus is everywhere, and St. Luke's is always his home. But I find that the most reliable place to experience his presence in the church is in our undercroft on Tuesday mornings, when the tables are filled with healthy, nutritious food and our neighbors are able to take what they need in a setting that respects their dignity and value as precious children of God. St. Luke's Food Pantry could not serve our community without the exceptional generosity of our donors and the tireless efforts of the volunteers who take time away from their own busy lives and come to St. Luke's week after week after week to receive food donations, set everything up, staff the tables, and clean up after our guests have gone. Over the past 3 years, the number of our neighbors who have come to our food pantry every week has more than doubled, even after the fear of ICE raids reduced the participation of our Spanish-speaking neighbors. senseless cruelty persists in our time, just as it poisoned the atmosphere when Jesus was crucified. Recent cuts in federal benefits and the extended government shutdown boosted demand by about 25%. That's a significant increase, but we've been able to handle it, thanks to our existing donors who increased their gifts, new donors who stepped up, and new volunteers who joined our regulars to serve everyone who came to us for help. Everyone who has donated or volunteered is a priceless blessing to our community, and we at St. Luke's have thanked them from the bottom of our hearts for their generosity and dedication to this vital ministry. If you were to ask the leaders of food pantries elsewhere in the United States, I suspect they would tell you something very much the same. I mentioned earlier that Jesus' mercy and extravagant love are the qualities that make him a king worthy of our devotion. In giving his life to save humankind from the consequences of our sins, Jesus showed us that generosity, kindness, mercy, and love are the traits that most please our fathers. Food pantry donors and volunteers everywhere have demonstrated those qualities in abundance. Thank you, thank you, thank you if you are one of them. And please take a little pride in how well you have stepped up in obedience to our King's command in these difficult times. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. You have, and I have no doubt that you will continue to do so. May Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bless you and your food pantries this day and always. Amen. And now, please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving Creator, you are the maker of all good things, and you have filled this bountiful world with everything we need to thrive. We thank you for the priceless blessing of food, the food we make, the food we eat, and the food we share with those we love. We lift up all those in need of food, those who lack access to enough food for themselves, and especially those who struggle to provide enough food for their children. Bless the volunteers and donors who support food pantries everywhere. Help them to seek out and serve their hungry neighbors with the nutritious food they need every day. Remind us always to be thankful for the resources we have and generous in sharing them so that everyone can receive the food they need to thrive. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll close this episode with a blessing written by the Reverend William Sloan Coffin. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth and too small for anything but love. Thank you for listening, friends. Happy Thanksgiving, and go in peace until we meet again.